Got that? We're live.
And yeah, we're live. So whoever's in the background might be able to see you live in about 10 seconds as soon as the stream catches up. Hi, Jacob. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I am doing well, and this is the very last talk of the day, so I'm very excited, not because it finishes, but because I am tired and need some sleep.
Yeah, very understandable. Well, thanks for all of your hard work. We all really appreciate it, and all the other organizers.
Well, on behalf of all the organizers, thank you. But it makes it all worthwhile when we see the valuable contribution that every single one of our speakers are making, not only pre-recording their talks, which is, a tough demand on people to say, oh, if you want to go to Emacs Conf, you might want to record your talk. But then almost all of you do it, and you spend a lot of time with us answering questions. So we couldn't do it. We wouldn't be spending as much energy, half as much energy, if we didn't believe that it was worth it. So now it's me thanking you on behalf of all the speakers.
Well, thank you. And that's part of what I wanted to get across in my talk was that coming together and sharing ourselves and, not just putting little essays out there and single videos, but coming together as a community, sharing ourselves, our faces, our voices, it really brings us together and makes everyone stronger.
Exactly. And I think it's been a recurring theme. Most of the talks we have at EmacsConf, they're usually about sharing, obviously, sharing the knowledge that they've acquired, either writing a package or learning how to use Emacs as a professor in academia or stuff like this. But what I particularly like this year about the different talks we've had is that they've really made the sharing even more obvious. Like we've had the mentoring this afternoon, and we have your talk about using videos as a different medium to get into something. And I really think, like, in terms of accessibility to Emacs, all of you who talked about this topic are doing a wonderful job. So thank you again for all of this.
Thank you. Yeah. Do we have any questions to be answering?
So only one for now, and I'll invite people as usual to please add a question to the pad or to join us on BBB. Now the chat is open if you want to join us on BBB and ask your question directly. And in the meantime, I will read the first question. So, quoting, are you using Ox Reveal to make your slide? If not, what are you using? They look very elegant, and I concur.
That's true. I am using Ox Reveal. I have a whole entire video on it. So if you're interested, feel free to take a look. It's very simple to get started with. There are a lot of different packages to use Reveal.js and Emacs. Ox Reveal or Org Reveal seems to be pretty easy to use. So try that one out. Yeah, it's really nice.
Awesome. I'm going to give a little bit of time for the other people to finish writing their answer. In the meantime, I'll ask you one of my own. So you said you were in college, right? In CompSci. Sorry, computer
Yes.
science. It's I think it's great, to find people in computer science who have, from the get-go, as soon as they're bachelor, an appetite for sharing and vulgarizing a lot of knowledge. Because it feels like if you get started like this, you're going to have a well of a time as you progress with the learning. So I'm very excited to see what you do in the coming years because of this.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and Emacs has been like very central to my education as well. It's a great way to sort of organize myself, and also it's a good way to share with other people. With org mode, I can export my code, I can export notes. It makes it so simple, and my peers are also, they're impressed by my PDF documents and whatever I can produce with Emacs.
Oh yeah, if only they knew how much time it takes us to get LaTeX to behave properly.
Right. I see some more questions coming in I can answer.
Sure, I'll read it for you so that it's a little more interactive. So, second question. Videos can be very inspirational to learn about something by watching it used. I often find that I need to do some research after watching a video to learn more. Do you give people links to relevant resources or etc.?
Yeah, that's something I could definitely do more of. When I make a video, I try to combine all of the relevant resources and make one sort of cohesive video. I like to think of my video as a jumping off point to the Emacs manuals because the manuals are so full, but you need to have a sort of a cursory understanding to get started with them. And then, yeah, if there are other sort of GitHub links or something like that, I like to put those in the description. Good question.
Right, and I think it's arcing back also. I keep using the word arcing back. I'm sorry. It's my every EmacsConf. I have one word or one phrase that I keep saying over and over again, and this one is not leaving. But don't worry, we only have about one more hours, and then you're done with me arcing back to stuff. I think this is reminding me of both the mentoring talk we've had today about onboarding people, basically, so that they can have a well of a time on their own on Emacs. And I'd agree with you, you know, as much as we like to rave about Emacs as a self-documenting editor, about how complete the documentation is, as you've mentioned in your talk, you know, it's not accessible directly to the people. We can yell as much as we want to people on IRC, you just right. need to RTFM, or you just need to do Control H V for right. the variable, Control H F. What is a variable? I am not from computer science. What does it mean? It is
right.
really blocking a lot of people right from the get-go. And right. And I think the element of interactivity, as you've mentioned in your talk, that is introduced by video just makes the hand-holding that much easier. And it's great to do it like this. All right, I think we've got another questions. What are your fellow cohorts of students using for their editors? What kinds of feedback do you get from them when they learn about you using Emacs?
That's a great question. I think professors want to make things, the entry, as simple as possible. So for the first computer science course and the second, at least at Columbia, they use Codeo, which is one of those online like whole IDEs. Now in the third course, which is sort of more the weed out, as they call it, the professor gives you a choice and he says you can use Emacs or you can use Vim. And everyone uses Vim. Not a single person I know is using Emacs, simply because the professor is using Vim and that's what he shows on screen and that's just what everyone else falls into. And it's also like they're totally in the terminal, and that can be a big barrier of entry. So I think they see Emacs as like something like Vim, but it's not sort of the same idea. It's not what everyone uses because it's not what's being shown up on screen. So if you're not following, like if you're a new learner, if you're not following with Vim, you might have a little bit of a harder time in these classes because everyone else is also using Vim.
Right. And I'm kind of reminded again, it feels like this is the last talk. So I'm reminiscing over all the different talks we've had on the general place. And you know, it feels like we had, you know, this one talk, I can't remember the first name nor the presentation, but it was about forcing people to use Emacs and not giving them the choice to do this. And I found it to be such a powerful move to do, because usually people, maybe some classes are actually forcing Vim because it's a little more palatable, I guess. Do you mm-hmm. have something to say on this?
Yeah, let me actually, I've remembered one thing. I know there's another course, a fourth course, you'd say, in assembly, and the professor suggests Emacs. However, I know that's just one professor, so I think broadly Vim is more of the standard. And yeah, can you repeat what you said about Vim being more sort of friendly?
Yeah, because it's not okay. I'm quoting the opinions of other. You know, I would hate to insult Emacs and give myself a bad rep at Emacs Conf of all things, but it feels like, because modal editing is usually something that people hear from when they start looking into how to be more efficient when they write text. It feels like the first door, the closest door to this is Vim. And so a lot of professors, because there's very little onboarding, I mean, I'm going to say the word onboarding and then I'm going to modulate, but there's very little onboarding to get into modal editing. You just have your H's and your J's and your K's and your L's and everything works. You know, it does something. Yes, the arrows are in weird places, but it does something that is vaguely logical.
Right.
Whereas with Control Meta, Hyper, Super, J, and then Control C and Meta 4 for good measure, you know, it already feels a little more opaque in terms of how people are going to use this. So, you know, I think it's also one good thing about the videos is that people can see you're not contorting your hands in very difficult shapes to use Emacs, as the bad rep usually is. But yeah, to come back to what I was saying about Vim, I just feel like they've won the battle in terms of looking very accessible. And for us with Emacs, from the top of our ivory tower, we see the ease of getting into Vim, but we always think, but Vim script is shit. We've got Elisp for us. We can do so many things on our end. So yeah, does that evoke anything to you with regards to Vim versus Emacs in terms of apprehension?
Yeah, I think that Emacs might be more straightforward if you just plop someone down in front of their computer, because you press H, you're going to see an H on the screen, right? And Vim is a whole new modal mindset. So for a student who wants to like gain efficiency, then yes, I think that Vim is definitely like, it feels like a more friendly introduction. But I think that Emacs doesn't get enough credit around here. And I'd like to see it more often, because a lot of students, they're not looking to fix the efficiencies in their text editing. They're looking to fix the efficiencies in how they do homework or how they do their programming assignments. And they would save time if they, or at least the mentality for a student is that if you can just get it done more quickly, like if it's more, you know, you do what you're used to, and Vim is just a barrier towards, you know, getting your work done. Like, how do I copy and paste something? It's a whole new set of challenges to learn. So I think both have their deficiencies and abilities.
Yeah, it's funny because, and just one last thing on this, it feels like modal editing, because it is already weird from the get-go. Perhaps it might do a better job of making people uneasy. You know how we say that constraints breeds creativity? Well, Vim constrains you from the get-go. If you do not press I, nothing is going to show up in the buffer that you're currently editing. Whereas Emacs gives you this full sense of security by when you press J, it actually inputs J.
True.
All right, moving on to another question. And by the way, with regards to time, we have technically about 6 more minutes, but I see Sasha on the other track is already answering questions with Amin about Emacs Conf. So we can go a little longer, as long as I let the organizers know. So we've got about, let's say, 6 minutes for now, and we'll see if more questions crop up. All right, moving on to the next question. Did you start those university classes using Emacs, I suppose, in your first year?
Yes. Yeah, I did. I started with Emacs 2 years before entering college, so my junior year of high school. And I've like basically over time built up a workflow of how I will take my notes, how I will organize my classes. And now that I'm taking programming classes where Emacs might be more acceptable, it's even like enhanced my workflow. Taking notes in Ord for program classes, like it's, everyone talks about it, but from the source, like you know, it doesn't get better than that. Being able to write with highlighting, with syntax highlighting, with easy exports, running inline code blocks. And a lot of these programming classes, they make you code on a server, and they just say, oh, SSH, and you can use Vim. I can use Tramp, and I can use Emacs, and I'm perfectly at home with it. It's just such a seamless transition. It's a really amazing way to do school. And professors, you know, all they want is a PDF at the end of the day. They just want the paper on their desk. They're not so picky about how you get it there. They just want it in their hand. So Emacs is very usable. It's very doable.
Right. I've got a little anecdote on this, because you're speaking about the topic of Emacs at university from a perspective of someone who is in computer science. But for me, in the humanities, I just remember those professors who just required you not to use your laptop. And I started with Emacs roughly at the same age as you did. And I was just using it for absolutely everything, for my organization, for producing papers. And to be told that I could not use Emacs for a class for my note-taking, I felt utterly naked in the face of what I needed to do. And yeah, it's great to see those different experiences. And it just, you're always going to be weird. Like, I was the weird guy using Emacs in the humanities, but I would have been weird using Vim or any kind of computers with fancy editing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm in humanities classes as well. I'm not in a strictly engineering. So people will see me writing an essay about, you know, a philosophy essay. I was working on an essay about Plato and Aristotle. And they say, what are you coding? Why are you coding your essay? And I say, well, it's just the font looks a little bit different. Everything else is the same words, just the font looks a little different. This is how I like to do it.
Oh, those pesky monospace fonts are making us pass as hackers, but for everyone who's behind us looking at our monitors.
Exactly.
All right. A little bit of a remark, I guess, towards me and what I said about Vim. So quoting, before NeoVim, you had to do as much or more configuration to get basic editing done than in Emacs. It's also slower with modal editing compared to Emacs key bindings, because you have to press escape and 2 keys to get things done. While in Emacs, you only have to press control or meta something to move or search or whatever and then write. And I tend to agree. I'm not familiar with the ages before NeoVim, but I think we are mostly talking in terms of reputation and communication. Like, how is Vim considered nowadays or for the last 10 years in the mindset of people choosing or about to choose an editor? And, you know, I keep spitting the fact about Vim script being bad, but I'm going to be honest, I've never actually written any Vim script. I'm just parroting whatever the giants on whose shoulders I'm standing have been saying to me. And it's not very intelligent, I know, but we also have a very limited pool of time. And I also think that this is a point that your talk addresses in a way. Yes, we could be starting the massive quest of reading the Emacs manual or the ELISP introductory guide or the ELISP complete guide. You know, a lot of people are trying, very highly motivated. I'm going to get started on Emacs and I'm going to do things right. But the fact of the matter is, it's not necessarily a good use of your time to get started like this, because there are so many things you're not going to understand. It's kind of goes back. Didn't say I bug this time. I stopped myself. It kind of goes back to this I+1 Vygotsky proximal zone of development stuff that I was talking about before. The manual is I+999. Your video might be I+3 or I+2. And the handholding really does wonders for people to eventually get closer to reading the manuals and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great way. Just something about giving someone those practical demonstrations. That's something I really appreciate. A lot of these really nice presentations we've had today and yesterday show real life use cases, and we get to see people typing and they're working how they would normally work. And that's a great way to begin to understand how you can apply a tool to yourself, because at the end of the day, Emacs is a tool for us. You know, we might take joy in it. It helps us be more productive. It's fun, but we're using it for a certain end. And you know, how we can understand to get to those ends and what those ends might even be. It's just a great to see other people, you know, bring that forth for you.
Okay, great. Well, I don't see any more questions in the chat currently, and I don't see anyone who's joined us on Big Blue Button. We are near the time that I said. We've got about 40 seconds to go until we were due to end. Jacob, I kind of want to give you the microphone for the end. Do you have anything to say? Like, you've talked about your YouTube channel. We've already ensured that the links will be everywhere on the talk page, in the pad, on IRC. But is there anything else you'd like to add? Because you're the last speaker of EmacsConf, and you've got the tough responsibility of finishing it.
that's not tough at all when we've had 2 days. I mean, so many people, so many presenters coming together. And like I said right at the beginning to Leo, putting your face out there, putting your voice out there, putting yourself out there, it's such a great way to come together, because Emacs is not the standard. You know, I've tried to teach my friends Emacs. I've tried to show it to them. You know, some people, you get it or you don't. And the people who get it, we're not all in the same place. And it's great.
I'm interrupting you for a second, because I think we were supposed to kill the cron, which starts the next meeting, and it hasn't. Let me try to fix it. I'll talk to production in a second.
Should I wait or keep going?
Just wait a bit. I'm very sorry. I've given you the mic, and then it just...
No problem.
You don't stop.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just check your production. All right, Jacob, I'm going to put us manually back on track. So give me just a second.
Right.
All right. I'm going to manually type the URL because it's a janky setup that we've got right now whenever it's not working. All right. So https://bbbemacsfirst.org.html. No, that's not the one. Let me try to type it properly. BBB Emacs Vers L5H R5T VH0. Okay, we're getting back. Okay, sorry folks about this. We are Jacob, we're back online. I'm really sorry about this. It's just that Sasha's script kicked in. I did tell you we were supposed to finish at 30, and because Sasha is busy presenting in the other room, sadly, we got yonked again. So Jacob, I'm very sorry for the interruption, and you were retelling people about something you told me during the check-ins. Do you mind restarting this?
Yeah, sure. Well, you said I have the, you know, the no small task of making the last words for the from presenters and not the organizers at Emacs Conf. And I said, well, that, you know, that's not hard at all. How many speakers have we've had? 30. It's so incredible these past, you know, today and yesterday to have all been able to come together and not just share our ideas and, you know, our code and how we do things, but to share our faces and our voices and our lives, you know, a little bit of our lives, you know, to have the passion to even spend the time to on your weekend to watch this means that you have some sort of care about Emacs and it adds to your life. And, you know, those Emacs people aren't everywhere. I've tried to bring my friends onto Emacs and it seems like, you know, you're an Emacs person or you're not really an Emacs person. And those Emacs people can be really spread out. So it's great that we're able to come together and share a little bit of ourselves, a little bit of how we do things. Like I said in my talk, just increase our own joy in Emacs by coming together and being able to share our joy in Emacs. And of course, thank you to all the organizers and everyone who's contributed in any way. It means a lot to even, you know, the smallest member, the biggest member of our community. We're all really glad to be able to come together like this and share and meet each other and give nice talks.
Well, thank you so much, Jacob. And perhaps to reassure people, because yes, right now it feels like we are legions, all of us here in the same room watching the same thing. We are the Emacsers, and that's a very good feeling to have. But, you know, first, there's one thing that is certain, almost 99% certain. It's the fact that next year there'll probably be another EmacsConf, and there will be more Emacs version, there will be more augmented versions, there will be more people doing cool stuff on Melpa, on ELPA, et cetera, et cetera. So it is still a vibrant community. But in case you're craving this little extra in-person stuff, Sasha and myself, we are maintaining a list of all the Emacs user group. This is on the Emacs Wiki. This is what I'm sharing on my screen currently. And we try to organize them by parts of the world, like North America, South America, Europe, Africa, Asia. And we have a list of upcoming events, and a lot of them are still online. Ever since we had the entire pandemic stuff, a lot of the workshops moved online. And sorry, I had someone whisper in my ear. A lot of them moved online, and they are still online now because they've realized it's a very great way to get more people in the same place. And whilst it's great to have in-person meetings, we do this with Emacs Paris. Emacs Paris actually is happening. Is it? I think so. I'm going to need to tell Sasha that apparently, yes, we do not have the next event for Emacs Paris, which is next Tuesday, and it is in person. But for everyone, and including you, Jacob, if you find a workshop in North America that is working for you, I'm thinking about Emacs SF, which I've attended multiple times, and Emacs Austin as well, that I've been to once, I think. It would be a lovely experience and a way to. Most of them are every month. It would be a good way for you to stay in touch and to continue this sense of in-personness about Emacs.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you so much. Should I drop off of our call now and let you close things up?
Yeah, we're probably going to close things up. Let me just check on Sasha. Sasha is obviously answering many, many questions about how we are organizing EmacsConf. So Jacob, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much for your presentation and your answers. And maybe we'll see you next year. Who knows?
Yeah, or in the workshop. I'm so lucky I got you as my Q&A. When I saw you at my first Emacs Conf 2 years ago, I thought maybe this guy will do mine. And here you are.
Very nice. Thank you. I'm glad I was able to generate such a feeling. All right. Thank you. I'll get going now. Jacob, have a wonderful evening.
You too. See you later.
Bye-bye. And folks, what are we going to do right now? I'm going to set everything up so that we can get Sasha finished on the talk. If you are watching Squinting with both streams, you can go to Sasha's room, the development track, to maybe catch some of the answers by Sasha. And otherwise, we'll be back in roughly 5 to 10 minutes to do the closing remarks on this channel. In the meantime, I'll put on some music. So bear with us, and I'll see you shortly. And closing here. Whoever's watching this BBB recording, yay!